You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand, in for Lisa Dent. Lisa will be back tomorrow. Thanks very much for tuning in. I am thrilled to talk to Tom Skilling.
Our conversation with Tom is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Tom, how are you?
Steve, I'm doing great. What a treat. You know, we used to, out in Bradley Place, see each other all the time, but I don't see it downtown anymore. And I know you're not going to be dead in the afternoon there, so congratulations. Yeah. Good to talk to you again.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. And I did want to bring that up because you and I used to be together every darn day back in the 80s. Okay, wait, I'm going to tell a story about you. You tell me if it's true because you sound trepidatious. It's okay. When I was just starting out, here's this young guy from a farm town. I'm talking to Tom Skilling. I remember you used to love to hear jokes. Like, I would tell you a joke, and you would laugh, and you'd just get a big kick out of it. And then you'd go try to tell someone else, and you could never remember the punchlines.
No, that's right. I'm a great joke plagiarizer. The only problem is I blow the punchlines, as you all too well know. Hey, do you remember, Steve, the carpeting that we had in that combined WGN radio TV newsroom? There were stains on that carpeting, all of which had their own little stories with them. And it was really when the newsroom was completely redesigned and radio moved downtown, which is where you are now. I kept thinking this is going to be posted, this carpeting, somewhere in some broadcast museum because of its historical significance. But I don't know that that's ever happened.
You know, we're talking this week a lot about our anniversary because here we are on Tuesday. Yes. On Thursday is the 100th anniversary of the show. And so, you know, we've got the program on Channel 9 on Thursday night. And I did a lot of the interviews for it of the people who were involved in the station. And one, I'm sure you remember, Bob Manowith, who a long time ago.
Yeah.
Was news director.
Absolutely.
But Tom, one of the stories, it's not in the show, but one of the stories he said was when WGN was very young, when they needed the temperature to report it on the radio, they were downtown here, I think maybe at the Allerton or somewhere, they would look out the window with binoculars at a bank sign down Michigan Avenue. And that's how
you're kidding.
That's how they got their temperature.
Times change, huh, Steve? And now we have this flood of data that comes in on the internet and all of our wire services and all. That's one I had never heard. But you know, there are some amazing stories. Obviously, ours is a broadcast organization with a rich history. And you know, I was asked to speak at Harry Volkman's memorial, and there are legendary stories about Harry there and how he would go up to the roof because they had winter equipment up there and the door would slam behind him and he'd get stuck up there on the third floor roof and nobody knew where he was and the weather show would be approaching. And so finally somebody would say, hey, maybe he's up on the roof checking the weather instruments. And indeed he was. The poor devil was out there stuck on the roof with the door slammed behind him.
I would imagine his boutonniere would have been wilted by then.
Isn't it the truth? I'll tell you, old Harry, what a nice guy. We've been privileged, haven't we, Steve, to work with some true broadcast legends.
Some legends and some wonderful people. Now, Roger Treemster wasn't one of the nice ones, but we got to work with him anyway.
Hey, you know what? Roger has a book signing coming up this Sunday, and I'm going to be there. And Eddie Volkman is going to be there, Harry's son.
Uh-huh.
And we're looking forward to it. Have you seen Roger's book?
I have. I haven't read it yet, Tom, but I have seen it, and he and I have communicated about it back and forth. But it sounds great.
Oh, the work that's gone into that, and it takes you through his entire career. And I'll tell you, I learned things reading it I didn't even know about Roger. You know, he was quite an engineer in his time, and I knew that to be, you know, a fact.
Sure.
But he military weather service, and, of course, he worked at WGN, and he's worked at a number of stations over the years in town. And I'm happy to report Roger is a spry 92 years old now. I think I'm right on that. I've been working with his daughter, Sherry Treemstra, and we're looking forward to this gathering on Sunday where Roger will be there to sign his books and all and tell you about that amazing career he's had.
Do you happen to know off the top of your head where it is, Tom?
You know what, Steve, I should have done my homework. I should have it right in front of me. It's in a south suburb.
Well, get it to me and I'll mention it later in the week.
Yeah. I'll pass it on to you. I should know that, Steve, because I've got to figure out how to get down there.
Well, you know, and another one that people, I'm sure some people remember, but Paul Conrad, who started at CLTV, would sit in, I think he did afternoon weather for us every day down at the Showcase Studio. He'd be down here.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm telling you something. Oh, it's incredible. When I started at WGN back in 78, I remember we occupied an office, and I shared it with Bob Collins, Bill Berg, and Orlando White, who was in charge of our public affairs office there. And I'd see Bob and Bill Berg every day. And I remember he said to me, as a young kid who had just started there, he said, if you can survive 5 years in this market, chances are you'll probably make it through. So, you know, Steve, I've thought many times about Bob's words because here I am. I just turned 70 a couple months ago, and I'm kind of laughing because somehow, you know, in those days, you didn't know whether you were going to make it or not.
Yeah.
But now I can look back on it and realize somehow I snuck through.
It's been so nice talking with people and reliving and bringing back so many great memories. Tom Skilling's with us. It's the afternoon news. We're going to take a quick break and check the weather and traffic, and we'll come back and get a little picture of what we can expect over the next few days when it comes to weather. First, here's Mary. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Tom Skilling, WGN meteorologist, joins us now. Tom, it's been sort of a whiplash of a spring, hasn't it?
Oh, you know, Steve, it's funny you bring that up because I was just looking at this warm spell we've just gone through. Do you know that we now have 7 80-degree days on the books this year, having started this month as one of the coolest and cloudiest ever recorded for a May? And we've also got we have 2 90-degree days on the way. So I thought, well, let's look back and see how unusual that is. And it turns out, Steve, having started so miserable and cold in May, we are now one of the only 17% of years going back to 1871, 152 years. Only 17% of years have had this many 80s on the books by now, and only 4% of years have had 2 90s on the books. So the question becomes, what kind of summer followed those 90, those other years where we had 2 90s by this date? And it turns out every one of them had more 90s than expected. In fact, we averaged 29 90s in the year that followed. And that was way above the 17 that's average. So what I'm telling you is it's a marker that we'll be watching because it might indicate we've got a hotter than average summer on the way around here, which is what the forecast has been right along.
Oh, that's a little scary to me because, I'm not a real hot weather guy, Tom. See what you can do about that.
Yeah, you're not a hot weather guy?
Not too much. No, I love what we've had the last few days.
Me either. I think the last couple of days have been gorgeous. I mean, this is my kind of weather, but, you know, this heat is something. We always have a debate back in the weather office because my producer, Bill Schneider, loves the heat. And I tell him he's crazy, but I said, look, if you like it so much, we'll sit you out by the satellite farm in the back in the elements and let you relish the 90-degree heat, the 70-degree dew points and all. And he said, oh, that's fine with me. So,
no
Steve,
way.
He's cut from a different piece of cloth than we are, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he's got the upside-down cloth, I think. And so it's been nice the last couple of days. I know we've got some rain coming in, right? Is it serious rain or just occasional showers, or what are we looking at?
Occasional showers. I think there are 2 spells of rain in the coming week. One is starting late tonight and tomorrow. It'll be off and on. Thursday, a break in the rain, but we go back up into the 80s on Thursday and Friday, and we're going to bring that Gulf moisture back up, bring that humidity up, so that on Friday we ought to get some showers and thunderstorms. Now, those will be tangling with the jet stream in the neighborhood, and that's when you start getting these rotating supercellular thunderstorms that can sometimes produce gusty winds and all. These storms reach up into the jet stream, and they bring the wind energy down in their gusts. So we'll watch Friday afternoon, which should be a warm, humid day in the 80s with dew points approaching 70, and we'll see about some thunderstorms. And then the weekend gets cooler again, and we go into the early next week cool, but it looks like we'll be warming up again later next week. And I can tell you with some degree of confidence, there's no sign of a repeat of these mid-March level temperatures that dominated so much of early May again. So I think we're done with those.
Well,
that would be 40 degree highs that we had early in May.
So tell me, so you're saying it's going to be or could be warmer than expected summer. I was reading a story about La Nina that it's gaining strength because it's been a cool spring. So can those two fit together?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they can. You know, every La Nina and El Nino, and La Nina refers to the cooling of the equatorial Pacific waters, and you may say, well, why does that matter to us here in Chicago? But the fact is, when those waters cool up there, they change jet streams around the whole planet. And since the whole atmosphere is interconnected, what happens far from us can have an impact on our weather. And La Nina summers in a number of cases, tended to be very hot. One of them that comes to mind is 1988. That was the year of an incredible drought. And we also had 47 90s and 700-degree days. That's the most in both categories we've ever had in Chicago summer. So we'll see now how this one works out. But it does seem like they're kind of odds stacked in favor of a warmer-than-average summer, and we'll see how that, you know, if that in fact is the case.
Sounds to me like I'm going to have to get my air conditioner tuned up, Tom.
I think that's a good idea, Steve, yes.
Hey, there's a House committee today holding a hearing on UFOs.
Yeah.
You're always looking up there. What do you think?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, I never know what to think about that. You know, I've read about that since I was a kid. It always is a fascinating subject. I mean, clearly they've seen some things for which there's no explanation. And, I mean, these are credible observers who have seen it, military people,
right,
pilots, and all the rest. So it does seem to be something to it. Now, the question is, are these extraterrestrials, or is this just phenomena that we don't totally understand that leads to, you know, this visual sighting of something up there? I have no special insights into it, Steve, any more than you do. I read it with interest, and we'll see what comes of all this. But it is interesting that they're at least at an official level talking about this now.
Well, back in the day when I was a kid and storms were coming, we'd go out and we'd look for weather balloons up in the air. They're probably not weather balloons.
No, that's true. And, you know, it's... Well, you know, these weather balloons, that what goes up has got to come down. These things are launched every day, twice a day, and they go up to about 120,000 feet, and the balloon starts 8 feet in diameter, and when it gets up to that low pressure up there, that altitude, these things grow to 25 feet around and finally break, and then there are little parachutes and lower the instrument so they won't hit people on the head. But, you know, once in a while they're found, and if you ever do find one, you take it to a post office, and, you know, the post office will be sure it gets back to the weather service again.
That is, Tom, listen, I got to run, but it's been so nice talking to you. I see you once every couple of years. I know we talk on the phone and such, but I just have enjoyed talking and reliving some of the great memories.
Steve, great to talk to you. I'll tell you, and continued success, and let's hope we talk again soon.
All right.
Steve.
Be well, Tom.
You too.
WGN meteorologist Tom Skilling. All right, now we're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up. This is Chicago's Afternoon News.